My best friend was the director and did not cast
me. No.
So it was like every year I was like devastated, painful. Like I would be home like sobbing.
Oh no.
Sometimes you need to fail. The need to fail.
Ooh, what a sweet, sweet song. What's going on, everyone? This is Don Finelli. This is The Need to Fail. This is a podcast. This is the first one. This is great. We're doing it. Shit. I finally fucking did it. I got off my ass and did this shit. Finally. Christ. Anyway, I'm happy you're listening. I set up an email account. It's called theneedtofail@gmail.com. That's all one word. I want to hear from you. Let me know how you like this. If you have any concerns or questions or thoughts, or if you think someone would be great to interview, let me know. If you would think you'd be great to interview, let me know. Let me know your story. It's also a place where you can just kind of send me little anecdotes or quotes that help you get through your day or has helped you get through something of a struggle in your life. Let me know. Shoot me an email and we'll chat about it. You can also post on my Tumblr, which is theneedtofail.tumblr.com, or ask questions on there anonymously, as most of you like to do, you crazy bastards. Or let me know your name. That's cool too. Either way, I'll answer all that shit. I figured before we start each interview, before each episode, I would tell you a story of mine. I feel like I have like a shit ton of crazy stories of little setbacks, failures, you name it, struggles that I went through to kind of get to where I am. And I'm kind of nowhere right now, but a lot of hard work and a lot of failure I went through even just to get to this point. And I'm still kind of kicking and failing and all that good stuff. But I figured I'd start off with a little story for you. I remember the first time, this was like the first time I ever wanted to, I guess, quit, or I was like, I'm done. I can't do this shit. And it was like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. And I had commuted in to the city. This is like an important part, and a lot of people who know me know this, where I would commute in, I would drive into the city almost every day from New Jersey, and sit in like, I mean, there would always be fucking traffic. I would try to time it up at the right times, but there would always be traffic coming in, and most of the time I'd be on the GW Bridge. I wouldn't even think about taking the Lincoln Tunnel, and then every time I did, I'd be in like 45 to an hour's worth of traffic. I think I calculated that I sat in like 3.5 weeks worth straight of traffic in my commuting time in to the city over the years. And I remember I had an audition, which I thought was big at the time. I hadn't had a lot of legit auditions. This was for a like host of a sports show on a legit network that I was kind of pumped about. I don't know if it ever got made, but like to me, it was like, this is it. I can do this. This is right up my alley. I'm a big sports guy. I did a lot of prep for it, and you had to do a lot of prep for it. It was like this long-ass interview, and I remember it was kind of toward the end of the day on a Friday, which is like suck-ass time for traveling into the fucking city. Just a horrible weekend. Everyone's leaving kind of a little early. It's just a shit show. Always on Fridays. Driving in and out of the city. Both equally. Both suck. So I tried to leave a little early. I think my audition was at like 4:30, and I was like, I'm leaving at like 2:15. I have plenty of time. I'll find parking like I always did. Parked every goddamn day. Either tried to drive around, do it on the street or in a goddamn lot for $20. And I remember I left really early and immediately hit traffic on the GW Bridge. And I remember it was in the summer and it was super hot. So it was just this like fucking smelly air and the heat from the cars and all that shit. Even though I had AC, I was still sweating my ass off. And I remember finally getting off the GW Bridge, going down to the West Side Highway, and that was backed up. And I'm listening to all the fucking reports, and it's like, hey, we're all an hour and 10-minute delay getting into and out of the Lincoln Tunnel and the GW Bridge. It's like, I'm fucked. And I just remember just sitting there and just starting to lose my fucking mind. I was trying to concentrate on, like, the lines I had prepared and any questions that they would ask me. Like, any, I just couldn't concentrate because it was just like, this is like the 55th hour of me sitting in fucking traffic trying to get to something I love. I was like, I just think the world is telling me to, like, go to fucking hell. Get out of here. And I remember I moved maybe 5 miles an hour. And I was on the West Side Highway for like over an hour. And I was like, I'm going to miss my fucking audition. And I tried to go down a side street and that was blocked. And it was just like one of those things where it's like, I'm toast. Like, I'm going to miss this audition. It's like the most, I thought at the time it was the most important fucking thing. And I seriously just started, like, my eyes started welling up. People are like beeping their horns. People are like getting out of their cars. There's like a guy selling water with his like fat stomach out. I mean, like, everything was just gross. And I remember just being like, I think I just want to drive into the Hudson River right now. Not in a suicidal way, but I was like, I just want to damage everything. I want to damage my car. I want to just ruin stuff. I want to give myself an excuse so I don't have to fucking come into the city anymore. And I was like, I don't think, you know, if my life is dependent on this one fucking audition and I'm losing my goddamn mind, I don't know if I should be doing this. I don't know if I can keep driving in and just auditioning for shit that might not matter. Even though I thought it was important, I was like, maybe it's not fucking important. Maybe all this is really stupid. And I just kind of lost my mind at that point. And I remember that was kind of the first time I was like starting to really well up and shed some tears. And I only shed tears maybe like two or three times in my car. And I'll get to that at another time, like when those happen. But that was one of the three, I feel, where I was like kind of crying and helpless in my car and being like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? What is this shit? Come on. It can't be this stupid, right? It's got to be a little easier than this. And I was late to my... I had to, like, call my agent. I was like, I'm going to be late. This is embarrassing. And I got there. And I did okay. But I didn't do great. And I was like, what a fucking waste of time. What a waste of time. And I was just really down. I remember going to, like, Argo Tea and having, like, a green tea and kind of feeling okay, but not just... really contemplating whether I should quit or not. I'm not, you know, when I ask people to do this interview, I think we all have a little trouble kind of remembering. Sometimes it's very clear, but sometimes it's not. And the specifics are blurry because I try to like put this shit out of my mind by staying positive and moving on and moving forward. And that's kind of how I do it. I just kind of keep, I just think of momentum and moving forward, keep moving forward. I kind of say that mantra in my head. So I think that's what happened at that point. And I think I had an improv show that night and it went well and that kind of like got me out of my funk. I don't think I talked to anybody or anything like that. I don't think I got like words of advice or anything like that. It was just one of those things where it's like, I'm fucking toast. I'm sure my girlfriend helped me out at the time as she always did when I was like, oh, I'm out of here. I can't do this. Kind of talked me off the ledge. But let's get to the interview. I have Lauren Lapkus as my first guest. I'm so excited to have her. She's probably one of the funniest young comedians out there right now. She's a LA-based comedian and actress. You probably know her from Are You There, Chelsea? She was a series regular on that NBC sitcom. She was also just on Hot in Cleveland, Betty White's TV show. She does improv out at UCB LA. She's on a team called Bangarang out there, and she also does ASCAT. She's currently filming a series right now called Orange is the New Black. It's coming out on Netflix in the spring. So hope you enjoy the interview. This is Lauren Lapkus. Yeah, I'm sitting here with Lauren Lapkus. That's fun.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I'm super pumped here. So I just wanted to
kind of talk about like a quick background, you know, just like kind of give the overview of like where you came from and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah. I'm from Chicago. I grew up in Evanston, where Northwestern University is.
Oh, really?
Those listeners out there, yes. Mm. I grew up across the street from Northwestern.
But you did not go there.
I didn't go there. Mm. I went to DePaul. I moved to Chicago when I was in college for DePaul.
Right.
And I was there for 4 years and graduated.
Nice. Good job.
Thank you. I feel good about that. And then I went to New York for like a year and 3 months. And then I moved to LA 3 years ago. So I've been all over the place.
What's that?
I've been all over the place.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
But you started doing IO when you were in high school.
Yeah, I started when I was a senior, which was amazing. And like I was younger than everyone in my class. They were like 25 and I was like, they're so old.
Right. That's the Improv Olympic for those that don't know. In Chicago, an improvisation. Mm-hmm. They do sketch there too.
A little, but it's mostly long form improv. Yeah.
Right. And then you came to New York for a little bit and then moved out to LA.
Yeah.
Right? So, the purpose of this podcast, was there any like moment throughout your journey where you kind of were like, no, this isn't going to work or anything like that, where you got like kind of really scared about it or
about
to cash in the chips?
Kind of thing? I think like I decided I wanted to be an actor like when I was in middle school. I did like, you know, children's theater plays and stuff. And I wanted to be like a comedian. Like I really loved Adam Sandler. And
yeah.
I want to be like Adam Sandler.
It's the best.
Like,
it was the best. Like Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it.
So I wanted to be like them. And you know, in high school, like my goal was to be in every play. Like I auditioned for every play and I never got in. Like, I mean, I auditioned for the musicals and you had to sing in front of like all the other auditioners. And I didn't have training. Like, I don't know what I was doing.
But were there like little kids that were trained?
I mean, yeah, it was like, you know, the other kids, it'd be like a senior, you know, there who had done every musical and like they would go and they'd be incredible. And I'd be like a freshman being like...
Right.
On my own, and it's like the worst, and everyone was like, that was terrible, and I didn't get in or get a call back. So but I was always like really hurt. Like every time I didn't get in, I was devastated. And there was one show, like there was one show that I got into every year, which was called Yamo, which was
Yamo.
It's like a traditional show at my high school, Evanston Township High School, and it's written and directed by students, and there's like so the seniors write it and direct it, and not all
so it changes things. Every year.
Yeah, it's like a big like sketch show, like a themed sketch show. Basically, it's really fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I loved that. But I couldn't do that till my sophomore year, I think. So I was auditioning every year for this other show called Writer's Showcase, which was also written by students and directed by two students. But it was a small, like, it was sort of like the indie version of that. And it was, like, really artsy.
Right.
And I wanted to do it so bad. Like, there was some dramatic stuff in it. Like, it was just everything. Like, they would take a poem and make it, like, really cool. Like, I don't even know. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Right.
And so, like, every year I would audition. Like, my freshman year I auditioned and there were two seniors who were casting it. I didn't know them and I didn't get in. And I was like, that really sucks.
Right.
And my sophomore year...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here with huge news. We have a terrific episode of Office Hours Live prepared for you. We had the great stand-up comedian Kyle Kinane come in and a very special in-studio music session from legendary Mdou Mokhtar. You're not going to want to miss this one. You can find it on your podcast app of choice by going to Sears or Macy's and getting an iPod and then coming home, charging it up, and listening through your app.
It was two seniors who I knew from doing other stuff, and they didn't cast me. So I was like, oh, I know them. That's really sad.
Right.
Then my junior year, it was like my friends, and like, including a guy I was like, I had a huge crush on. Right. I ended up dating for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
They didn't cast me.
Whoa.
And I like hated it. Like it was the worst. And then my senior year, my best friend was the director and did not cast
me.
So it was like every year I was like devastated, painful. Like I would be home like sobbing.
Oh no. Wait, so did you like... Were you thinking, like, obviously, like, why? But, like, could you think back to that time and be like, did you suck?
Like, or, I don't like, think does, so. Right? That was the thing. So, it's like the other, like Yamo, that show, like, I loved it and I was really good in it. So, it was like, I was capable of something.
Right. So, they, like, saw, like, what you could do.
Right.
But for some reason, they...
They would never cast
me. Maybe it was jealousy.
I don't know about that. I think it was just they didn't think I should be in it. But, like, that killed me. And I ended up being voted like best actress in high school, but I only got into that one show every year. So it was like one of the most ironic, but also it was the show like everyone came to see.
Right.
But like,
but that crushed you a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of killed me because it was like, all I want is to be in like all of these shows and I don't get any of them. And it kind of led me to do improv on my own. And
interesting.
So, yeah, because I mean, that was, I had a teacher, like I never got into any shows and my theater teacher like liked me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you should go take classes at Second City, but they don't do teen. Like, it was like, you have to do the teen classes there, but you're 18, so you can go do it at I.O.
Wow.
Like, so, and be with, like, the adults.
Cool.
And so he, like, suggested that to me, and that was why I did it.
So, you had, like, a little chip on your shoulder kind of thing.
Yeah. I was, like, totally bitter. Like, I was always bitter in high school. And I think I was bitter about a lot of things. Right. But, like, probably my
That's pretty cool that it led you, though, to improv.
Yeah, yeah. And that was what was so amazing for me, because every Saturday I would take the train in Chicago and, like, go to these classes. And, like, even if I wasn't getting into the shows at school, like, I still felt like I was doing something all the time.
Sure.
And it was, like, way cooler than the shows.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, so was there other teens, or were you with, like...
No, yeah, I was with all the older, like 25-year-olds.
Yeah, and super old.
Yeah, they were so old. I mean, I remember, like, I went to prom, like, during... I had to miss a class to go to prom.
Bummer.
And it was like everyone was like, where were you? And I was like, prom. And then I like had my photos and stuff. And they're like, old and you're a child. It was amazing.
That's great. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. So it was fun.
Awesome.
And that kind of changed everything for me, because I feel like I gained so much confidence. Like, I was, you know, through everything in high school and everything, like, that was a hard time, because I feel like I was constantly questioning myself. Like, I must suck. I mean, like, really. Like,
that's a tough time, too. Like,
yeah.
You're a teenager. Yeah. Shit's going wrong everywhere.
Right.
Like, nothing goes right when you're a teenager.
Like, you look gross. No one wants to date you, in my case. And, I mean, there's a lot of, like, negatives to it.
Right.
But, yeah, I feel like, you know, kind of taking the bull by the horns was, like, the way to get over it. And I think that's what I've kind of done in my whole life.
Like, I got you.
From that point on.
You kind of, do you still kind of carry, like, does I guess that, like, chip on your shoulder kind of attitude motivate you to kind of keep moving forward? Or if you don't get something or you're auditioning for something and it doesn't pan out, how do you feel after that? That's always a weird moment for actors, like, mm-hmm. when you audition for something, especially something that you want.
Yeah, I think I've had a few things where, like, it was a big thing or it seemed like it was going to be the next thing.
Yeah.
And, like, that's really hard, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't really care if it's, like, I'm just auditioning. And, you know, mm-hmm. I try to keep it light, because it's, like, you can't think about everyone and be, like, sad. I don't hear back from everyone. So, like, that is sad if I think about it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the ones where, like, you're distinctly told, like, and you didn't get it. Like, I think that kind of sucks, because it's, like, it's the feeling of, like, going to look at the cast list and being like, I'm not on it. Like, it sucks, you know?
Yeah.
It feels, like, embarrassing and
sad. You
take
it personal.
Yeah.
You have to, because, like...
You're like, what did I do?
Yeah,
like,
I must have messed up
or something. Like, I had a couple things in my life where, like, it seemed like, oh, yeah, for sure this is happening. Like, people would even say, like, this is going to happen.
Right.
And then it was like, I've learned, like, you can't listen to any of that.
Right.
Like, anytime, like... You know, if you're in the room and they're saying, like, you're perfect, we want you. It's like, you just have to go, like, that was a nice thing you said, but that's not true. You know what I mean? Until
absolutely.
I am there doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's always the funny thing. And maybe for actors, especially when you start auditioning, there's so much, you put so much pressure on yourself, you know, and then the more you audition, I feel like you were saying, you keep it a little lighter because you can't listen to everything and you just kind of got to go into... I guess the one thing I found out was, like, don't worry about it so much, and then just, like, make a strong choice on, like, what you think that character is.
Definitely.
You kind of do the
same
thing.
Yeah. And I also really believe in positive thinking.
Sure.
And that is something that I kind of just try to have in my life all the time, is that, you know, it's not the end of the world, and I can't let myself get depressed about stuff that doesn't work out, because it's just a waste of time. Like,
sure.
I might have, like, a day or two of, like, feeling really down about something or something that went bad. But, like, beyond that, I can't do it.
I got you.
And I can't talk about it to people. Like, you know, like, I feel like when you get, like, when something goes wrong or, like, you don't get something, like, you can only complain to your friends, like, so much about it before everyone's like, that's a quality problem. Like, I don't want to hear from you. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to, like, let off the steam, and then, like, people are just like, all right, that's, like, enough.
Yeah.
Like, you got to, like, exactly. move on. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so, like, when you were, I know, like, you know, you've had some success, and but I'm sure like the road there was still tough. Like you're still like met with constant failures if you're an actor,
yeah.
And like the, you know, not getting everything that you want with like auditioning and stuff like that. But then there's like also like the, like you have to live your life too.
Yeah.
Like you have to pay bills and all that stuff. I'm sure that was, I know like when you came to New York, it was just like,
oh yeah, I was broke. I mean, that was my first time moving away from home. Like, I mean, like, sure. When I was in college, you know, I didn't have to have a job, which was amazing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, when I moved to New York, I was, like, determined to make all my own money and not ask my parents any money. And
sure.
I did that. Uh-huh. But I also, like, ate food from the dollar store, like, regularly. Like, wow. It was, like, my grocery store.
Did you have, like, a favorite from that?
They had these cookies that are, like, like generic Oreos that are really good. And I would also buy saltines there and, like, ramen and stuff like that. Awesome. I mean, like, nasty.
Sure.
But, like, also, still I'll eat those things now. But now right. It doesn't feel like I have to eat this for dinner. So.
Right. You just eat that for dinner.
Yeah. I would eat that for dinner. I would have, like, I made eggs a lot.
Right.
I was a good, I can't really, like, eat eggs that much now because I was eating eggs so much of the time.
Sure. That's the tough thing. That's like the balancing. Oh, I need to audition here, but I need to have a real job.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So I was nannying,
but
like babysitting really, because I would just pick up this kid from school and like take her home. And I just worked a couple hours a day, which when I look back at that, I'm like, I worked a couple hours a day and lived in New York and was able to do it, which is amazing. Like I did not have to have like an 8 hours a day job,
but
I probably should have a more comfortable life, but...
Right, but you still needed the flexibility to audition or if anything does come up, especially when you start auditioning, you feel like you need to drop everything.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's like the most important thing
mm-hmm.
to start doing it. And in some ways it is, but you know, looking back, it's not as important as
it's not like dire.
It's not dire, but like, I mean, you would drop work for it, so...
Like, and I was only auditioning for commercials at that time and like... But also I was freelancing with a commercial agent. Like the stakes were like as low as they could be. Like it was like, they would send me out like once a month, if that,
right.
But like when that would happen, it was like, oh my God, I have to drop everything. Like I remember like desperately trying to get out of a babysitting job. Like I was there and I had to leave.
You have a human being.
I took a cab to the audition, which is insane. Cause I never took a cab at all.
Right.
When I lived
you
here.
Never take cabs anywhere.
Oh my God.
Like,
it was like,
so
that was like so much money. Just to go have an audition for something I didn't book. So it was like, I mean.
And that's constant. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Did that ever kind of wear you down? I'm sure. It wears us all down. But did you ever get to a point where you're like, no, I can't do this anymore?
No, because I always wanted it so bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like the thing that was always there. You know, to stop me from ever going like, I'm not going to do this. Was like, I just want it so bad.
That's the thing. That's the interesting thing to talk about. And I think that's where everyone differs. And this is what I'm so interested in is like the level of motivation. I think the people that are the most successful, I think, do a couple of things. But I mean, everyone does it differently in their own way. I think there's a part of like that... desire is like so much stronger than other people's desires, like that even when you do, you know, even when you're down or you don't get something, there is that kind of like inner flame that like keeps you moving forward.
Definitely.
And even when it's like really small, even when it's like diminished, like there's still something that kind of keeps you moving forward. And in your case, you're saying it's kind of just that, I guess, love, or just that's all you want to do.
And I've always seen that as being what's going to happen for me. Like, it was like my whole life in high school and everything. It was like, I pictured, you know, a vague version of what I'm doing now. So, like, I always wanted that. And, like, I couldn't wait.
Right.
So, I think that is something. I mean, sorry. I lost my train of thought.
Well,
go back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Cut this out.
You know, I know that you do, do you visualize a lot?
Yes.
You do a lot of like, write your goals down.
Yes.
I know I write my goals down and I know other people do.
Yeah.
But do you have a certain method with it? I know some people use vision boards.
Yes.
I know some people just kind of read something every morning just to kind of keep them motivated and focused. Do you mind like talking about your process with
that? Yeah, I love vision boards. I fully believe in them. I've talked about them in many other forums and I'm happy to talk about it again.
Sure.
I love vision boards. Like I fully believe in this power.
Uh-huh.
I mean, make one. I'm telling you now, like I really believe it, even if you think it's dorky. Like there's something about it that like, because what I believe is that you're, you know, for one thing, it's making you be really clear on what you want.
Yes.
Like if you have to write it down on a board or like, you know, do pictures that relate to it, however you like to see it.
How do you do it?
I write out the like thing that I want, and then put it on the board. Like,
and put it actually on a board.
Yeah. And then, like, I'll look at that, you know.
No pictures.
You know? I have some pictures, but most of my pictures are, like, people I want to meet. Like, I want to have, I have Oprah on there. I want to meet Oprah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, other people. But, like, my first vision board had Mary-Kate Olsen on it. I was really into her at the time.
Wow. So, wait. When did you start doing these?
I started when I moved to New York. So, I think it was, like, 2008 was my first vision board.
And you wanted to put Mary-Kate.
Yeah. I wanted to meet her. And then, like, I've, like, come close a couple of times, and I was like, I feel like it's meant to be. Right. I don't know. I love her.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, I mean, there's, like, because you can put anything on there. It doesn't have to just be career.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I had, like, you know, I still have, like, I want to have a house. Sure. Like, different things on there that I would like. But a lot of it is career for me because that's kind of what is my main focus all the time. Yeah.
I think, if anything, I think you said it best is, like, you're very clear on what you want.
Yeah.
And I remember kind of going after stuff and that the fear kind of brings you to a place where it's like, well, if you don't get it, that's okay.
Yeah.
And like, that's like a shitty attitude. Like, if you ever, I feel like if you ever want to, like, if you do have a goal, but like your inner voice goes like, but if you don't get it, it's okay. Yeah. Like, don't worry about it. You know, kind of thing. Like, you're not honest. Thing. It's like, you got to be really honest with yourself. Right.
And that can be what's hard about like making a vision board, I think, is that you have to say, like, I want $1 million. Like, something that just sounds crazy or whatever.
Right.
But you're like, I have to admit that I want these things. You know, like, I want to be, like, the star of whatever. You know what I mean? Like, something that sounds really far-fetched to you might not be, you know, it's, you have to admit that you want it. Because if you, I think that admitting it is, like, is the first step. Like, because you're able to go, like, when I have an opportunity, I can, like, confidently go toward that. Like, not being like, whatever, you know, like, it's okay. And then you blow it, and then there goes your chance.
Yeah. It's almost like you're sabotaging yourself.
Yeah.
You're already, it's like, if you do believe in kind of like visualization and stuff like that, you're seeing yourself fail by doing that.
Definitely.
So you have to see yourself. Do you visualize before like an audition ever or anything like that? Do you visualize you getting the part? What's the extent of that? And when it does, this is the other thing, when it doesn't happen, like, what happens?
Yeah.
Because I'll visualize stuff and then I don't get it. Do you check in with yourself and go, did you feel it enough? Did you want it enough? Do you ever?
Yeah. I think that when there's like a big thing that I'm really excited about, I definitely like visualize it. And I daydream about stuff all the time anyway. So I feel like I kind of am always thinking about all those things. But like, yeah, I'll definitely like think about how an audition's going to go. Like, if it's like a really big deal to me.
Right.
You know, I'll picture that. But it's hard because it's a very like loose image in my head. You know, it's more of like a feeling.
Right.
But then if it doesn't go well, I mean, you just got to let it go. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, if I think about like, oh, and I pictured it going really well and I thought I was going to get it, I'm a dumbass. Like, that just makes you sad, you know?
Sure.
I don't want to be sad. I really feel like I'm not like I'm like in denial of my feelings, but I feel like I just try to move on because it feels so much better to be positive.
Sure.
And I feel like that is, I feel like that affects everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can kind of like feel it off the person. There's that. And if you kind of keep your confidence, I think it's like keeping your confidence up and keeping the momentum forward. I'm a big believer in momentum. Like, and even when something kind of like stops you in your tracks, you have to find a way to kind of keep moving forward.
Yeah.
It seems like in your case, it's just pure, this is what you want to do. No one's going to stop you kind of thing. Like, this is and you don't have any other plans, right?
No.
There's no backup plans here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's another important thing I kind of learned along the way is like, if you have that backup plan, it's kind of like that voice that's like, well, if you fail, don't worry about it.
Right.
I don't know if you can ever like fully kind of give yourself over.
Right. Yeah.
I'm also a believer, I think, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, that you kind of have to like feel or kind of have to like really feel like you're shit. At one point, like really feel bad. In your case, it might have been high school.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I felt that more often.
Right.
As I think that was like when I was going through that.
Right.
And like even with improv classes, like that was a really hard thing for me to do. Like I was very nervous going every time, like social anxiety, like the idea of going was like really stressful and doing it was stressful, but I enjoyed it. You know, like then as I did it more, it became more and more fun. But I also think that affected my whole life. Like that changed like my outlook, like improv. Like I really think it was like the catalyst for me to be like a positive person and all these different things. Like,
so like the kind of rules of improv.
Yeah. Really, like, I think like changed my life. Cause I think my humor when I was younger was like really sarcastic and like kind of mean.
Uh-huh.
And like, I don't really think my humor is like that at all anymore.
Right.
So it's like, sure. I think it shifted, it like taught me how to like do it in a positive way. Right. You know,
right. Are you still like hard on yourself after like improv shows?
Yeah.
Or you still kind of do that? Or are you still like more, oh, that's okay. Like, don't worry.
I think
it.
Like, 85% of the time I'm like, it's whatever. But mm-hmm. if I have a particularly bad show or I feel like I did a lot of things that fell flat or like were weird, I like will think about it for days.
For
like,
days,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like it's like yeah. If I did something that was like bizarre or like, you know, like not expected, like I took a scene and it like made no sense, like yeah, just because yeah. I was like panicking or something.
Right.
I will like go over it a bunch and like wanna text everyone on the show mm-hmm. and like stop myself from texting yeah. anybody. But like,
yeah,
I want to go like, hey, why did I do that? I don't know. Like, it's dumb. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's good to hear that. I mean, you're a great improviser. I've seen you a bunch. And it's good to know that, like, yeah, improvisers still, like, we're very hard on ourselves.
Yeah, it's
you know,
terrible.
And actors are, I think, very hard on ourselves. And yeah. It's still good to, like, it's still refreshing to hear that. People are like, ah, man, I thought about that shit for
days. Oh, my God. I can't let it go.
I still think about stuff for, like, a year ago.
I can name embarrassing things I did a year ago.
Can and you also, name one?
Oh, my God. Like, one of my first improv shows when I was at IO, it dissolved, like, in the worst way. It was so bad. Like, basically what happened was, like, we were all doing some group thing where we were, like, cats, you know, like, meowing, crawling around.
Of course.
Someone breaks the fourth wall and is like, why are you guys doing that? And then we're all not sure whether we should break it because we hadn't done it. Also, I hate when people break the fourth wall.
Right.
That's just my own thing.
Yeah.
So, like, we're going, like, meow. Like, it was so bad. And then, like, then there was a moment in the show, that same show, like, we all, like, dissolved. It was terrible. And then there was, like, a slow fade blackout. Might have been the same show that started with someone saying the N-word in the opening.
Oh, boy.
Terrible.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
Like, why would you ever say that? Yeah. I don't know. We didn't know how to get past it. It was, like, the scariest.
Right.
That wasn't my fault, I guess, but still like, on the page of, like, I don't know what to do. I hate this. I can't stop thinking about it.
Like, you immediately put pressure on yourself.
Right, like, I should fix it. Yeah.
I'm good enough to fix this.
Yeah.
I can do it. And then when you don't, you're like, I should not be here.
I'm terrible.
Goodbye. See you later. Okay, this was really good. One show is fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, even, and ASCAT, like, recently, like, mm-hmm. I feel like I made a move where I was like, why did I say that? Like, I don't, mm-hmm. that was weird. My mm-hmm. partner didn't know what to do with it. Like, it was a non sequitur. Like, mm-hmm. it was difficult, you know, and then I go over it and over and over it. And it's like, I mean, you can't. But I do that about, like, interactions with people, too. Like,
sure.
If I said something wrong, yep. Oh, my God, I'm like, I'm done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, this person will never talk to me again.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, so, because you work with people that have more experience than you a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Do you get intimidated a lot by that? How do you kind of push through that? That's, I know that's a problem of a lot of people.
Yeah.
They get this, like, intimidation. It like, kind of stresses their brain, and they'll forget lines, or they'll get very nervous.
Sometimes that sends me into, like, overdrive where I'm like, I'm the best I've ever been. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, in a crazy headspace where it's like, I'm so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I have to just, like, do my best
mm-hmm.
because that otherwise I'll feel terrible.
Right. So like, you use that almost as motivation.
Like, sometimes that works for me.
Okay.
I think other times, like, I'll just be, like, nervous and mess up or something.
Right, yeah.
And then I'll be like, I can't mess up again. Like, if I mess up once, like, with someone who, like, I admire.
Right.
I'll just be like, that was the time I got to mess up, and now I'm done messing up because if I keep doing it, I will hate myself.
And you don't want to get to there.
Yeah.
You want to stay positive.
No, exactly.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Yeah, I know there's a lot of, because especially even on a smaller level of just like improvising with people that you admire or something like that, you just kind of have to push through that. I think with anything, it probably gets easier over time.
Yeah, I think so. But I definitely was like, you know, nervous the first few times doing ASCAT or whatever, mm-hmm. like where you're like, oh, these people, like, I really admire them, and, like, I hope that I do a good job, you know, and I think that's healthy to, like, keep that in your head.
Right.
But not to a point where, like, it stops you from just playing how you play and being yourself.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. I'm sure there's, do you keep, just to kind of wrap it up, do you keep obviously putting new things on your vision board, and, like, do you have, like, new goals? And when you hit a goal, like, obviously, how much do you kind of celebrate that? Do you allow yourself to like celebrate that, yeah, or are you just like, good, got it, and like you move on?
I usually like buy myself something.
It's cool.
Yeah, if I like get to check something off my vision board, which I do, right, like visually check it off.
You visually check,
yeah,
it off.
I mean with a pen.
And you can see it. You can see that check mark, yeah, next to it. And I like, I did this.
Yeah, cool. I really like that. And then you look at your board, you see that you've accomplished a few things. Even if some of them are smaller, you know, like, mm-hmm, things you can actually control. That's nice to have a couple of those to balance out the, mm-hmm, really huge ones. But yeah, I like to buy myself a treat or like go out to dinner or like do something kind of cool. Like, sure, I like to feel like I got something.
Sure.
Like,
and that
I
helps
did it.
You.
Yeah.
That helps you, I guess, for your next,
yeah,
kind of, it kind of, I guess, goes over into your next goal.
Yeah.
You're like, and oh,
yeah,
I want to feel like this again.
Yeah.
So you like feel what it's like to accomplish something.
Mm-hmm. And like when I lived in New York, I never bought anything. Like I never, mm-hmm, went shopping. So like there's some validation in like being able to go, I want this bowl for, right, my house, but I'm going to wait till I book something and then I'll,
right,
buy it. You,
right,
know, like there,
right, right,
it feels,
right,
good to be like,
absolutely,
success. Like it's like, it just kind of like a reward.
Absolutely.
But also, yeah, I do add new things to my vision board. Like I haven't updated it recently and I'm getting paranoid now because I feel like I need to like get back in it.
Right.
But like, yeah, I try to keep it updated because there are sometimes things like your goals change. And I think that's healthy to recognize too. Like if you get over something, like you're like, oh, I really don't care about that thing anymore.
Right.
Like take it off. Like don't waste your time with it. Like,
gotcha.
Keep it current and keep, mm-hmm, it like all things that are like, you know, right now. Because,
right,
if you have a bunch of old shit on there, it'll,
yeah,
just make you feel like bad. Like I'll never even accomplish it. I don't want,
right,
to.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, just
I
kind
gotcha.
Of, like,
I
sad.
Gotcha. So you're changing it up often and not,
yeah,
often, but like,
yeah,
if something's just like, if you're not into it, it's gone.
Yeah.
And you replace it with something that you really want.
Yeah. Cause sometimes like you think you want something and like the, mm-hmm, closer you get to it, you're like, oh, I really don't care about that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool to like recognize that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you want to plug anything?
I'd like to plug my Twitter.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, at Lauren Lapkus.
There it is. Thank,
boom,
you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Yay.
Later.
That was the wonderful Lauren Lapkus. Thanks again, Lauren, for doing that. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. Remember, questions, comments, stories, email me at theneedtofail@gmail.com or theneedtofail.tumblr.com. You can post questions there as well. Shout out and big thanks to James Leggero, who is the sound guru and producer on all of this and is helping me out big time. If you're interested in contacting James, you can also just email me at theneedtofail@gmail.com and I can give you his info. Thanks again, guys. I'll see you next time. I'm the underdog. I don't mind, 'cause I can handle it.